is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. That's our toll-free number. And the we tonight is myself, Chris.
And Chris number two.
Just to keep things confusing. And
the nobody formerly known as Rich Paul. This will be a confusing name day.
I know I was trying to find another Rich to join us, but
we don't even have another microphone.
Exactly. We would have adapted and we would have came up with something. But Chris is usually this seat. Chris,
we should have three Chris's on.
Oh, the three Chris's. That's good.
There should be three Chris's.
We've got, don't we?
Probably.
I'm trying to think. Well,
there's Ron Paul's freaking giant. I can't remember his name. Isn't his name Chris?
Okay, this is terrible, but
Chris Lawless.
There we go.
I think that's Christopher Lawless. We could invite him on.
We could certainly bring in a third Chris. We may not want to, but we could.
Yeah, I think that's not something we should be trying to achieve.
No, I don't think so either.
But what we do have a couple people that it gets a little confusing. At one point, Mark Edge said, "You know, we already have Chris Wade, and he's always on the air. So maybe you could." Come up with a nom de plume. I should come up with my own name. And he would say, he's like Sergeant something. I'm like, I was a specialist. Like, that's a whole different type of rank in the military. It just doesn't have a real ring to it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Specialist Chris, I just don't get it.
Yeah.
And somebody else who doesn't get it is a coroner in Louisiana. Now, it's finally happened, Rich. I've been warning you for years.
Oh, boy.
A Louisiana coroner claims the first case of THC overdose, the first death due to smoking pot. An overdose.
Smoking it?
Yes.
Oh, Louisiana, that I
Louisiana
really
coroner claims first case of THC overdose death. Others doubt her findings. Imagine that.
I doubt her findings.
Do you?
Yeah.
I do, too.
Well, it would be sui generis. I mean, unless you, like, passed out while wearing a gas mask bong. I guess that's possible.
I'm not.
But the thing is,
confirm or deny
get
my knowledge of gas mask bongs, but
my knowledge of them is extensive.
Mine might date back to when I was in high school. My father, unfortunately, owned a hardware store, so I had access to all sorts of devices to connect one thing to another.
Oh, yeah. See, mine was a pharmacist.
Oh, okay.
And well, so I learned to bend glass tubing and make very artistic bongs out of it.
Yeah, but that's the even in that case. I mean, why haven't we seen, why aren't the streets littered with dead potheads? I guess that's what I'm wondering.
Well, I mean, how much would you have to smoke? Because, I mean, there have been times when it looked like I was attempting suicide through pure smoke inhalation. And yet, I live. And I mean, if he really managed to do it, my hat's off to him for the intestinal fortitude and the strength that it must have taken for him to crawl on his belly across that last bowl.
It had to have been difficult.
You know, Chris, it's got to be because it's a gateway drug now. That's got to be the answer, right?
So there's other drugs
in his system that caused the death, not really the, smoking.
Let's find out what this story says. This comes to us from News4A, that's a NBC affiliate in Louisiana, WZTV. A coroner in Louisiana claims, based on autopsy results, a woman in the state could be the first person to die from a THC overdose, the main ingredient in cannabis.
Oh, now maybe. I know the answer. They gave it to us in Breakfast Club.
There you go.
Chicks cannot hold they smoke. That's what it is.
Oh, so it's the fact that it's a woman. The main ingredient of cannabis, marijuana, the St. John the Baptist coroner told the New Orleans Advocate, the 39-year-old woman showed she was killed by an excess of THC. The coroner claims that there were no other signs of disease or intoxication that could have led to the death other than THC, and it could be the first death as a result of overdosing on the compound.
What was the blood level?
Call me skeptical, but I mean, if you take too much of something, it is possible to die. Like, if you drink too much water, it's possible to die.
Correct.
I just have a hard time believing that unless somebody's drowning, you know, it really happens.
Right.
Well, it does happen.
And it's the same thing with THC.
There was a woman who'd killed herself. There was a radio contest.
Yes.
Drinking water. And a woman died as a result of water poisoning.
Yeah,
you're giving me the eye rolling look, but this is true. Look
no,
it up.
No, I know what you're talking about, Rich. They were giving away a Nintendo Wii,
yeah.
And the contest was who could hold their Wii the longest while drinking water. And she hung in there, and she ended up getting violently ill and ended up dying. It was a big
Yikes.
It was a big thing in radio circles.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, because the radio show was sued, and I believe they were held liable.
I think so.
Yikes.
So these types of really obscure, odd things do occur. And as I was on my way.
But the thing about marijuana that I keep coming back to is if you're smoking it, okay, you smoke a joint, you smoke it to your face, and then you got to roll another one. Smoke that one to your face and roll another one and smoke that to your face. The question is, after your penultimate joint, before passing out, do you have the wherewithal to learn to roll another joint? And my belief is that you will forget how to smoke weed before you smoke your fatal puff. You just won't know how to do it. You look at the weed and you look at the paper and you go, I don't know what to do with any of these things.
Right. That's the part that's really crazy. I'm going to skip to another article which has a little bit more on this. This comes to us from the New Orleans Advocate. That's what was referenced in the first one. Every so often in the U.S., a claim emerges that there's been a first-ever death from a marijuana overdose. The latest claim comes from La Place. St. John the Baptist Parish Coroner Christy Montegut said last week that toxicology results for a 39-year-old La Place woman who died in February showed she was killed by an excess amount of THC, the main ingredient in marijuana. Quote, it looks like it was all THC because her autopsy showed no physical disease or afflictions that were the cause of death. There is nothing else identified in the toxicology. No other drugs, no alcohol. There is nothing else. The woman's name was not released. So I find that pretty questionable. Well, I couldn't find anything else that would cause death. The only thing I found was weed. THC.
Which has a record of causing death just because, zero times.
Just because you haven't found it, you haven't discovered it, it doesn't necessarily mean that the only thing you did find caused the death.
Right. Now, her logic here is flawed.
It's a logic of fallacy, yeah.
And right. So what sort of things can kill somebody? Well, insulin can kill somebody, and if you don't find the pinprick, you might not know that they had an excess of insulin because it exists naturally in the body. There are a number of poisons
certainly
that will dissipate.
Yeah, there's a million things, and there are, and I'm not a cardiologist. I am not a medical doctor in any way, shape, or form, and I'm certainly not a coroner. The only thing I am doing is adding my voice to the many doubting voices to say that this was THC, which is a substance, a compound found in marijuana that's been studied off and on, whether the federal government was allowing it or not. It's been studied off and on for 50 years and no indications at any point that this is a lethal compound.
Yeah, I mean, if a bale of it falls on you, you might die.
That'll do it.
It's probably less lethal than H2O. So
it's certainly less lethal than aspirin. You take 17 aspirin, as Cat Williams said, that's going to be your last headache.
Montegut, who had served as St. John coroner since 1988, believes this could be an index case in medicine, perhaps the first death on record solely as a result of THC exposure. Since some drug researchers and experts are skeptical, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say us in the studio, we're also skeptical. 855-453, what do you think? Did the devil's lettuce finally take its first victim?
It was the one-armed Romaine.
There you go. 855-453, I want to hear from you. This is Free Talk Live. is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. In studio, it's Chris.
And Chris number two.
And nobody formerly known as Rich Paul.
You don't have to call yourself Chris number two. You could say also Chris.
All right, I'll say Chris number one.
Okay, that's fair enough. There's no ranking here. I mean, geez, let's
use a Microsoft convention. You can be Chris 98, and he can be Chris 2003.
I'll be Chris XP.
How about 0 and 1?
Actually, yes, Chris XP and Chris 98.
No.
Oh, man.
What year were you born in?
No.
What year were you born?
I'm like OS 2. I mean, if you had to grab a maturity level.
OS 2?
You're not as old as me. I was born in 68.
I predate DOS. I predate CPM. I predate all sorts of languages.
Yeah, I'm going to say,
about Unix?
What?
Any chance you were
OS
born in
2?
What year was Unix born in?
Well, Unix, I mean, that's interesting. That was a 70s.
I feel like you're way, well... Actually, I can't say this on the radio.
Way older than dirt. I've heard
way
that
way older
one.
Than OS 2. Let's put it that
Remember
way.
Remember how clean everything was before they invented dirt? Everything. You could eat off anything.
Now, I'm trying to think of what OS is when I was, you know, in my 18, 20, 25, in that age. I mean, it was nothing. I mean, the IBM PC had just come out. Apple had got their first couple OSs out. But the Mac wasn't a thing yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
But without going down that rabbit hole of depressing myself with my advancing years, I do want to tell you about Bitcoin.com. Bitcoin.com is your premier source for everything Bitcoin Cash related. Bitcoin.com can help you choose a Bitcoin Cash wallet, buy Bitcoin Cash, and show you where you can spend your Bitcoin Cash. You can also read the latest news or engage with the community on the forums. Learn more at Bitcoin.com. That's Bitcoin.com. It's an interesting way to think of our ages as operating systems. But, you know, I mean, growing up, the home PC was just like, it was kind of a new thing when I was growing up.
So do you think the latest versions are like bloated and inefficient?
I think, like, everything, yeah. In some ways, but, yeah, I mean, I remember having a Texas Instruments TI-99. That was an early computer that we had at home. Ours was all, you know, it was stuff that was designed to come into your house, TRS-80s and stuff like that. So
The Trash 80. That was a fun computer.
Basic programming and then the Commodores and the Ataris, you know, which did.
My first computer was a Commodore PET. How about you?
It was, well, when you say computer, that's kind of hard. TRS-80 was the first one that we had, I guess.
Okay,
that
I would call that
first.
A computer. That was a general, what did you have before that that was maybe a computer? Like, I had an Atari 400 before that, but I didn't consider it really.
That stuff came later, and I did computer. Have Atari 400s and 800s and 1200 XLs and things like that, and you could write, you could program.
That's true. You could program those things in BASIC, couldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. See, that's what I loved. I was just playing games on it, but the games were all written in BASIC. So, like, I found that I could change the game. And it was like, oh, this is, you know, this is why Kirk had so much fun with the Kumbayachi Maru.
Right. Right. And it was.
Probably slaughtered that pronunciation.
That was close enough. I knew what you were talking about. The idea of programming, you know, things in BASIC when your computer was so limited, I think opened up the world to a lot of people. Like, if you... Mm-hmm. You know, you slap down like the Diablo graphics engine in front of some kid who loves to play video games. What's he going to do? I mean, where do you start when you're just trying to make a block?
Well, the first thing he's going
to
do is make
to change anything.
Yeah, he might well make a version of Doom where all of the monsters are Barney. That was one of the first things like that I played, where somebody made it and made new Doom mods.
Yeah, somebody had done a mod or added a new skin or modified a skin. So, yeah maybe it's through modification that they get to do this. We're going to go back and talk about weed again, because who doesn't like weed?
No hands go up. He doesn't like weed.
And I'm not much of a smoker.
You barely
smoke.
What are you talking about?
I'll just refrain
about?
From answering the question.
Yeah, it's okay. About every 2 or 3 years, I feel the urge to try it again.
You rebel.
Call me.
But yeah, I'm really out there. But again, you know,
he's a blast when he's stoned.
What we that's great. Yeah. How could I not be? We're talking about this
he's
story that comes to
sober.
Us out of Louisiana, where a Christy Montegut, who is the coroner at St. John the Baptist Parish, is claiming that a 39-year-old LaPlace woman died of marijuana, basically died of an overdose of THC. And her logic is, well, we couldn't find anything else. There was nothing indicating any other disease, but we did find THC in her system. Ergo, it must be marijuana that killed her or the
butler.
It
sounds to me like it should be considered a late-onset SIDS.
Very late. Keith Humphreys, a former senior policy advisor at the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy, said that with vast amounts of marijuana consumed in the U.S. every year, and he's not kidding, it's hard to imagine that more overdose deaths wouldn't be occurring if THC was toxic at consumable levels. Quote, we know from really good survey data that Americans use cannabis products billions of times a year collectively.
And
not millions of times.
Die.
Right. Not millions of times, but billions of times, unquote, says Humphreys.
That's a billion with a B, baby.
With a B. Quote, so that means that if the risk of death was one in a million, we would have a couple thousand cannabis overdose deaths a year. Humphreys also said it's not uncommon for coroners to see a drug in the system and with no other sign of what may have caused an event leading to death, must conclude that the drug was the cause. Quote, there is some imperfection in these kinds of assessments. I would agree, and we are going to go to
the... I would like to just give that credit as a master of understatement. I think that guy has the British humor down.
Yeah, there you go. We are going to go to Discord, where I believe it's Ilian is on the line. You on the phone?
Ilian Gonzalez?
I don't know. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, what's on your mind?
Okay, so I'm calling from Russia, right?
Okay.
And basically, I heard about you talking about weed.
Okay. Marijuana?
And, you know, it's a problem in here in Russia because you see every man in the park, like, you know, in a park where there's children and everything. You see them smoking weed.
So the children in Russia smoke weed?
No, you're saying old men smoke weed
teenagers.
In the park.
I was saying, we should bring that here to the United States.
They should come and smoke it here.
Yeah,
they should. Thank you for your call. The story continues. The National Institute of Drug Abuse, a federal government research institute, said there has never been an adult death attributed to THC. So what do you think? I mean, you've got the government, unbelievable. You got the federal government on one side defending this drug, saying we've never had a case presented to us that it was clear there was THC poisoning, yet you have this coroner in Louisiana.
Was this chick vaccinated?
That's a good question. 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live.
I want to tell you about my favorite cryptocurrency wallet, Edge Wallet at edge.app. Edge is the wallet I use more than any other, and that was true long before Edge Wallet became a sponsor of Free Talk Live. Edge Wallet allows you to buy, sell, trade, and securely hold your cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin, Ethereum, tokens, Monero, Ripple, Dash, Bitcoin Cash, and more. It's available for both Android and iOS, and you can download it via the Play or App Store or via Edge Wallet's website, edge.app. Secure your freedom with Edge Wallet.
This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's our toll-free number, 855-450-3733. You can also hit us up on Discord, and Discord is a very cool app. You can load it on your phone, load it on your laptop, on your PC, on your Macintosh, doesn't matter. All you need is that application, your high-speed internet connection, and a decent microphone, and you will sound like you were right here in the studio with us.
You mean my dial-up modem won't work?
Your dial-up modem? No, that's basically what I have at phone at home, and I can't use it.
Really?
Huh.
Did you ever hear DSL?
Right.
Yes.
You know, that's
DSL
sad.
In New Hampshire, DSL is still a thing, and I've got it. Oh, my God.
It's helped develop a system when I worked for IBM, and it was a... basically, if you were on... It was developed for a bank, and if you were on a website... You could push a call CSR button.
Okay.
And a customer service representative would be assigned to you, and their version of Netscape would be synced with the page you're looking at, the data that you're seeing, like if there are forms on the page, that data would be mirrored on their page, and you would also be able to have a voice conversation with the CSR, and this all was designed to run on a 36K modem, and it worked just fine because we used good voice compression. It's too bad that isn't around anymore.
All right, 33K, 33.6K.
Oh, 33.6, you're right, it's like 14.4, yes.
I am the king of old technology.
Lord Trivial, we call him.
You know, I missed it, but I would have picked up if I had actually been paying attention.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is. It was a crazy time, nearly as crazy as people insinuating that marijuana causes people to die. This story, and we're reading from, this is out of, let me see, what paper are we at? The New Orleans Advocate. And this is a story where a coroner is alleging that this woman smoked a whole lot of pot or ingested a whole lot of THC somehow and died. And she is claiming that this is likely the first death attributable to marijuana. In Louisiana, at least, Montegut's report appears to be the first to attribute a death to THC alone, according to State Department of Health spokesman Robert Johansson. All other deaths he has recorded with THC mentioned involve a combination with some other drug. Reports of death due to THC tend to pop up across the U.S. every couple of years. One notable claim came from Colorado in 2017, where an 11-month-old boy died after his inflamed heart went into cardiac arrest. Headlines were made across the U.S. because the case study said the baby's death may have been associated with marijuana exposure. The study's authors were quick to note, however, that didn't mean the baby died just because he was around marijuana, even though the THC in his system seemed the best explanation for why his heart was inflamed. Montegut doesn't suggest THC was partially responsible for the death in the LaPlace case.
That's interesting because marijuana is an anti-inflammatory agent.
Right. And for a child to have an inflamed heart, that seems counterintuitive.
It really does.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're blaming marijuana for some sort of defective bodily function, basically, you know, whether it be the heart or something else. And it's not really the marijuana that was the problem. It was their condition that was the problem. And yeah, maybe marijuana had an effect, but they probably would have died from something else as well, like water or who knows.
Yeah. Quote, I'm thinking the lady must have been vaping this THC oil and got a high level in her system and it made her stop breathing like a respiratory failure, he said. It's
Does
unclear
he say
because
what the level was.
Yes, we're going to get to that, but it's weird because they're in this story. They just changed the Christie is a female name to a he, but maybe it is used as a male name. I'm not sure. Montegut said the THC level in her system likely came through a vaping device with highly concentrated THC oil. A toxicology report said the woman had 8.4 nanograms per milliliter in her blood. So 8.4 nanograms per milliliter.
What does that mean?
It's all sorts of metric there.
Oh, it's that voodoo metric.
Like, is
system.
That a lot? Is it?
I know there's no scale, and I don't think anybody. Well, actually, this goes on to say this: impaired driving can occur with as little as 2 nanograms of THC per milliliter, according to at least one study. And so she had four times the amount needed to cause impairment in a driver.
So
that still doesn't sound that high.
Well, the thing is, to impair a driver, long before you'll impair a driver, unless they're smoking while they're driving, you're probably going to make that driver want to do anything but go out and get in a car and do something. So, right. You know, even that levels of THC that impair driving are almost never seen in the wild. And that's important because nobody's getting convicted of that in Colorado. Juries aren't buying the impairment.
That they are. They are nullifying juries left and right, and that's good.
I mean, the only thing I can think of is that there was a defective device. But to blame marijuana then doesn't really make any sense because it was a defective device that somehow injected too much into them or something.
Yeah. Right, but
right? Like
vaping. And you know, I know people around here that do vape THC oils or cannabis oils and things like that. It's a very efficient way, I would think, of ingesting THC and getting a buzz.
Yeah.
But I get down to this number of 2 nanograms can produce impairment, and it may be 4. I mean, everybody's different. It's going to hit everyone differently. I want to know what studies led them to believe that 2 nanograms per milliliter is the magic number where drivers become impaired. This is as ridiculous. This statement is as ridiculous as saying that everybody who blows a .08 on a breathalyzer is impaired.
Absolutely.
It's a made-up number. It's pulled out of somebody's butt.
Yeah, I mean, I was following a drunk guy the other day, and he was clearly on the road. Like, he was able to drive. There was no problems driving, even though he was impaired.
Right.
How could you tell he was impaired?
He was weaving back and forth.
back and forth
but
within
he was in the
lanes,
right?
Within the lines.
He was driving a little slower, but on the road.
Did you find yourself, like, secretly rooting for him? Come on, buddy. You got this. I'm with you. Go. Yeah, this is the whole thing. These are all hypothetical numbers. And like I said, and then for them to allege that THC, anything over 2 nanograms, is going to create an impaired driver. I realize the state, this group of people, feel that they need to come up with a solid number that they can then enforce their laws on us. It's not the way it should be. This is insane as DUI laws. Thoughts?
I would say that's more insane.
Yeah, and that's how it comes across to me.
Because I don't think there's going to be a lot of driving among the 2-stone to drive set. But please don't smoke behind the wheel, because, you know, that's just an awful plan.
Well, I'm going to go a little bit further, and I'm going to say, you know, if you feel that you are truly impaired,
Certainly anytime you think you're impaired, don't drive.
Exactly.
And
that's
if your friends are telling you you're impaired, you probably shouldn't drive.
Is there like a statistic? Like, do we have any idea like what percentage of people even drive behind the wheel? Like, and
that's a good point. Like,
I mean,
have the number of drivers dropped in Colorado?
Right. And I want to know the difference between the number of people driving who have TLC in their system, because
THC
or THC.
Aww.
That tender love and care.
THC in their system and actually being affected by,
right,
you know, because there's a clear difference. It stays in your system for like 14 days, right? Something like that.
It's a fat soluble substance.
Longer
so,
than that.
Yeah.
I was in jail for 31 days one time, and they released me on bond, but they said, the one thing you can't do is smoke weed, and we're going to be testing you. So my probation officer had me tested before I was released, 31 days into jail, and I still pissed dirty.
855-450-FREE. What's your experience? Have you ever driven under the influence of marijuana? Do you think it's okay? Do you think it should be treated harshly? Do you believe that this lady died from marijuana poisoning? 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. 855-453. That's our toll-free number. 855-450-3733. And do you operate a retail business? Are you looking for a solution to how do you accept Bitcoin? This sounds like it would be complicated, but it's not. It's never been easier. Thank you, AnyPay.Global. There is no paperwork, no approval process, nothing needed to open an account. If you already have a tablet at your cash register, you're almost done. Just sign up at AnyPay.Global, drop your personal crypto wallet address in the setup page, and then load the app. That's it. You're accepting cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Dash at your store. Get started now at anypay.global. That's anypay.global. That's what we use at our store, Route 101 Local Goods. We just used it today to charge somebody for something that they purchased. And I love to see that. I love to see people out actually spending their cryptocurrencies as opposed to just holding on to them.
My church takes it for donations.
Good man.
I think everybody in town actually uses it. That's a business anyway that takes it.
It certainly seems like that. And Chris, your business does a lot in crypto, has historically, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're not a brick and mortar retail outlet. We're an online retail outlet.
You're an internet.
But yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. ThinkPenguin.com. We sell computers and accessories and tech stuff and Linux.
We sell computers and computer accessories.
We I usually say computers, peripherals, and accessories.
You should say it that way. You'll go viral.
Exactly.
You're probably
we
sell
right.
computers and computer accessories.
But I love what you guys do and your philosophy. Is it all your products are open source hardware? I mean, you guys actually look at what a machine's made of and try to determine whether this is something that could be potentially dangerous because it's got flaws or it's got closed source software. And
yeah, I mean,
might smoke 17 computers and die.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean,
from a security perspective, we certainly go to the extreme. But there's a lot of reasons to be concerned about the software that's running on your computer and that there's code available for it. Because basically, that's where they hide all the back doors.
Exactly.
So if you've got any kind of security issues, but it's not even just that. Like, even somebody who's not necessarily concerned about back doors so much, it's still where, you know, not necessarily like
government's not concerned about backdoors.
Yeah,
a backdoor can be exploited not only by a government but by a hacker.
It's right. True.
So there's nobody who's immune from that. You can be, you know, clear in the driven snow and still get backdoored.
Some people will tell you that they're not concerned if the government has access to their computer and can spy on them and stuff.
But what I'm saying is, as long as the hole exists, anybody can plug it.
Right. It could be a Russian.
I understand that.
Do you mind the Russian mafia exploring your hard drive?
I think there's the point that I think
I'm more scared of the U.S. government than I am of the Russian mafia.
Me
I mean,
too.
No offense, Russian mafia. I mean, respect, bros. But you know, they've never targeted me directly, so for that reason, I've never had reason to fear them. But the U.S. government targets me repeatedly, so I'm scared of them.
You and us, in this room, have a different, operational type security.
We're a little different.
Yeah, I mean, so what we're looking for, what we need, is going to be different than your average user. What your average user needs is they just need to keep the malware off their computer. And
yeah.
So,
but the problem is, once they pick us off, you know, there have to be people left to run the revolution. And, you know, we need, people. The revolution, if and when it comes, will be an information war. And in order to win an information war, you have to have a better, more honest network than they do, because the victory condition is to obtain enough truth.
So my whole thing was once people understand how much effort that our government goes through to find out everything they can about them, once they can track you no matter where you go, that will finally wake people up.
No,
and then Edward Snowden came out, did exactly that, and people are still asleep.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
The thing is, people don't feel they have a reason to fear the government yet. But why did government build this capability up? Because they're going to give you reason to fear them.
I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think people have reason to fear the government. They just don't know it, most people.
Sure. Oh, yes. You're right. Most people, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. I think there are some people who know it because they have been victims of the government more so than others. They've been targeted by, you know, basically bureaucracies and the people in those bureaucracies, whereas other people are just targeted not so much directly, but indirectly through taxation and things of that nature.
Yeah.
So, you know, they'll complain about it, but it's not quite the same thing as being thrown in a jail cell.
I think it's going to happen. I think there will be some program that will be unpalatable to a large number of people. I don't know what it is. I don't know what they're going to do.
I think people are in denial, though, about the harms that they're already suffering because they don't understand that they're losing income and their problems are actually caused by the socialism which is supporting them.
Right.
If they take $100 from you and they give you back, I don't know, $66, well, you have less money to support yourself.
I got a refund.
Yeah. But you know, they have to keep criminalizing people because the game was spelled out by Ayn Rand, and this is why she's a prophet, okay? She said, we don't pass these laws to be obeyed. We pass them to be broken because no one can rule a nation of free men. You can only rule criminals. So if your society doesn't produce enough criminals, you make them. You make so many things illegal that I can't turn around without breaking one of your laws. And then you cash in on the guilt and the fear. And I screwed up the last couple of sentences.
But that was apart from Atlas Shrugged. Absolutely. And that is an idea. There's been a number of studies that show that the average person commits 3 felonies per day.
Mm-hmm.
Not crimes, not misdemeanors, 3 felonies, that there is a criminal act on the book somewhere. And if you want a really fun read, go over to Twitter, pull up Crime a Day, and they will illustrate the most ridiculous things that are crimes, You know, how many, and this is one that just got rolled back, but the government made it a crime to put not enough perfect cherries in a frozen cherry pie. A certain percentage always had to be perfect. They had a percentage of cherries that could be frozen and could be, you know, slightly marred. But if you violated that, you just committed a felony.
Mm. You know, there's,
and another thing.
There's a lot of more common things that people do, like the labels on cans of certain types of products that are in your cleaning cabinet. If you put those on and you don't use it right, that's a felony too. I believe.
Right. So and that can be very simple because who doesn't use Coca-Cola to clean parts? I mean, that's an off-label use. Now that is not technically. Technically illegal, but it's an off-label use. If you use, for example, a kitchen spray to lubricate something in your shop, a kitchen cleaning agent, that's off-label use, and it can be illegal under federal law.
Have you ever seen turkey or ham turkey in a grocery store?
Ham
turkey? You've seen turkey ham.
Probably.
Yeah, you've seen turkey ham. Different companies make that.
I would think so.
Yeah, but it's a felony.
It's not
to
the sort of thing I would
create
buy.
A product and label it as ham turkey.
Huh?
You can call it turkey ham, but it's against federal law to
Why?
Call it ham turkey.
Oh, maybe that's what I should do at Fork Fest. Maybe I should sell illegal foods like ham turkey and pies with too many cherries in them.
Are you allowed to think about these things and you're just not allowed to do them when you're on probation? Or
Well, I go by the belief that any law which is repugnant to the Constitution is no law at all. So you can't break an unconstitutional law.
855, 450, free. It's just ridiculous. And like I said, again, go to Twitter, Crime a Day, and you will be constantly amazed and humored by some of the things that our government has come up with to threaten you with. And that's the thing.
I got to say that the look on your face when I said that about no law at all was priceless. I think if my attorney had hired you to portray her feeling, her response to that statement, it would have been exactly that. And that was a beautiful thing to see.
Man, now I'm hungry for ham turkey, or turkey ham. Which one can I legally say?
Oh, yeah.
Turkey ham. Ham turkey. Yeah, turkey ham. That's the
legal
one.
Can sell almond milk because that's been outlawed in some places. It's against the law to call something almond milk because you don't milk the almonds, apparently. And that's what makes milk milk.
Are you serious?
There's
10 jokes there. Hey, there's going to be a lot more. We're going to keep talking about silly laws because silly laws are fun to talk about. 855 450 free. This is Free Talk Live.
This is a special alert for business owners, consultants, coaches, folks planning retirement, entrepreneurs, and anyone who is saving and investing to build a financial future. You are likely aware that financial privacy for most people has recently died a miserable death. And let's face it, without privacy, there really is no security, is there? Bankrupt governments and banks on the verge of collapse are perhaps the biggest threat to your financial future today. The Lighthouse Law Club recognizes this and has been working diligently to provide safe, secure, and productive tools to ensure your privacy, your financial security, and your future financial well-being, despite the catastrophes which many people fear are looming ahead of us. Find out more with a variety of free videos on the YouTube channel for Lighthouse Law Club. Just search YouTube for Lighthouse Law Club and secure your future today.
Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live. 855-453. That's 855-450-3733. Here for hour number two. We do 3 hours of radio every night, 365 days a year, because we love it. And this is an open show, open phone show. That means you can call in if you don't like what we're talking about. And lately, we've been talking about a woman who allegedly died of a marijuana overdose, according to St. John the Baptist Parish Coroner Christy Montegut, I guess that's how her name is pronounced. And we are all skeptical, as are people in lots of other government agencies, which is refreshing to hear that they're actually looking at this with the same skepticism we are. But I do want to tell you about CryptoWire. CryptoWire is pretty dang cool. We use it here at Free Talk Live. Are you trying to reach
Why are we using it?
What's that?
Why are we using it?
Because it's effective. Are you trying to reach the crypto market? Or perhaps you want to spread mass awareness of your crypto technology? Either way, you need a communications company that specializes in the field, leveraging 35 different brands, part of the Investor Brand Network, and more than 5,000 downstream distribution partners. Cryptocurrency Wire combines the power of specialization with mass market reach. With their help, you can start connecting with crypto-friendly journalists and more than 1.6 million followers. Their commitment is to get the most eyes possible on your big news while it's fresh. Domestic, international, they can reach 56 different countries and also have translation services available. Even if your company is an important, relevant news maker, you need someone that specializes in the field to get your message heard. CryptoCurrencyWire.com. We've used them here at Free Talk Live. That's CryptoCurrencyWire.com. So back to this insane story. Again, Christy Montegut, who is the coroner in St. John the Baptist Parish, made this allegation. We've got people with, you know, the White House, people from the National Drug Control Policy Offices. These are not people that I would expect to agree with me on something like marijuana or intoxication or death by something that everybody seems to feel is a relatively safe drug. They have not attributed at the federal level a single death due to tetrahydrocannabinol, THC, the ingredient in marijuana that gets you high. And
They're trying hard to change that, but they're going to have to show me more on this case.
Yeah, and it's
But just, partially that's due to my ignorance. I don't know what a safe blood level of THC is. I just know we've never found the fatally unsafe one.
Listen. Right. Even if it can kill people,
it's still a one in a billion.
It's insignificant. It's not something to worry about.
Right.
You are so much more likely to get killed in some other way than smoking marijuana.
Yeah. It's just, I would be so sad if we had to go from zero to one death. I mean, I would still...
It's not going to make a
difference.
You know,
I would still put up a parody of the marijuana sign, clicking over from zero to one deaths with aspirin below it at millions and you know,
right?
I called this incest Insys, I think is the name of the company. And maybe I mispronounced it because this company was a cesspool. And these people were peddlers of fentanyl. Okay? Right. Okay, and they just got convicted.
Insys. Yes.
Well, I remember, and I looked it up. It was the same company that I called 6 months ago to complain because they had donated $500,000 to keep marijuana illegal in some state.
Imagine
and I was
that.
Mad at them. And I asked them at the time, are you afraid of losing market share? Because opiate deaths do drop by 25% when marijuana is legalized. And of course they got huffy and hung up on me.
Right.
And I lot in the stream of things that I want to take umbrage to and you know, tilt against. I lost track of it.
Yeah, I was gonna pull up a book I would highly recommend if anybody is interested in some of the ways that they're finding out how effective medically assisted treatment is in treating opioid addiction. The book is called Dope Sick: Dealers, Doctors, and the Drug Company That Addicted America. It's by Beth Macy. I just finished
this. They should have asked me, because one of the reasons that I was selling weed was because some of my profit was going so that when people said, hey, man, I'm trying to kick heroin and it's killing me, I could say, here, smoke some weed with me.
Yeah.
Okay? And come back anytime and smoke with me for free. And if I know you're trying to kick, I will smoke with you.
Right.
And, you know, they should have asked me.
I hope that we... The thing is, and this is why this story infuriates me, it is an effort by some people to paint marijuana as something it is not. You know, people have been, you know, you've read this headline, somebody you know has said it, you know, it's just a plant. It grows. You don't even have to try to grow pot. You throw some seeds down and half of them are going to accidentally grow on their own. It's that easy to grow. It really is. But they're
trying
to.
It's natural. It's always been a part of human life.
It has. But we're still reverting back to this same tired trope that started in the 1930s, that God forbid if you smoke marijuana, you're going to want to date jazz musicians and have sex with, quote, Negroes, unquote. And I say, quote,
and I'll tell
because
you,
that was a quote that was introduced into the federal record when these idiots were testifying in the 30s before Congress.
And I'll tell you what, from July 8th of 1987, which was my sobriety date, until I decided to smoke weed again, you know, after I turned 40, which was in 2009, I never stopped wanting to have sex with Negroes and jazz musicians in some cases. I mean, not all of them, but some of them. It never changes. It has nothing to do with the weed. There's just cute people out there of all races and musical tastes.
We're going to go to the phones where we've got Stone calling in from New Hampshire. Stone, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Hey guys, I just wanted to call in and discuss the festivities that were coming up in just over a week, right?
The Fest!
Fork Fest?
We have many.
Both forks to the Fork Fest, Fork.
You guys, met you guys, so we've spent time. You probably remember me, I would hope. But I was going to talk about Fork Fest.
Is this
amazing.
Stone?
It's,
yes.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah. But so it's one of the most unique places. It's like the way of the future, hopefully, is what I would hope. The electric unicycle is something that I've been riding at the past few festivals. Is one of the unique things that you don't really see anywhere else. Nowhere else I've been have I seen so many electric unicycle riders. Also the Segway type, the smaller Segways. I mean, they're... Anyway, just wanted to comment that it's... you know, it's exciting. Look forward to seeing you all and let everyone know it's an amazing time, the way of the future.
Well, do you sell these unicycle things?
What?
Rich is asking if you sell them. Can you provide Rich with a place to get an electric unicycle?
Well, that's funny you say that, because I had I had the solo wheel. Actually, no, I had a swag roller was the first one I had, and that cost like about $800 or $900, I think. Or no, that one cost $300.
Okay, objection, non-responsive.
You want me to say less words?
No, that's cool. So are people actually using these things on the sidewalks and things like that in bigger cities, or is this sort of still kind of a real niche thing?
That's what I'm saying. It's relatively a niche thing. Most places, like a lot of cities, have the scooters, which is kind of like a really inferior sort of product.
Right.
So like I said, the Swag Roller, my first electric unicycle, was actually had two wheels, but they rolled together, a little more stable than the unicycle, but it only went about 10 miles per hour, so I've upgraded. The one I've got now goes about 25 miles per hour.
Outro.
Well, very cool. Hey, Stone, thanks for the call.
One for rent, I'll take it.
We hope to see you up at Porkfest or at Forkfest. 855-450-FREE. We're going to get back into the tail end of the story, but it's interesting, where they estimate how many marijuana cigarettes it'll take to kill you. Is Free Talk Live, 855-453. That's our toll-free number. That's free as in freedom, 855-450-3733. It's me in studio, Chris
number one,
and the nobody formerly known as Rich Paul.
There we go. So you get three of us in our second hour tonight.
Three hosts in one.
Our second segment of our second hour. So We've been talking about this insanity coming out of Louisiana, which is basically trying to allege, according to one coroner, that a woman died from marijuana THC ingestion. And she has all sorts of theories, like how she was getting this. She says it was likely through a vaping device with highly concentrated THC oil. It talks about impairment numbers, which are simply made up, and they go on to talk about a couple things here. While there's not a specific threshold considered by experts to be a lethal dose, based on his research, LaFole, who's a specialist they talk about earlier in the article, estimates that any threshold would likely fall between 100 and 1,000 times higher than the THC level found in the LaPlace woman's blood.
So you were right. It was an insignificant dosage.
Yeah. Past estimates have suggested that a person would need to smoke more than how many joints to reach a potentially lethal toxicity?
91.
Chris, you have one guess.
I have no idea. 1,000?
Higher.
I think you would have to roll a single joint the size of a telephone pole and strap your face to it while you passed out.
Rich Paul, I am looking for a number of joints. What is your guess? We have 1,000. I said that was low.
I would say 20,000.
I don't know how you do this. Past estimates have suggested that a person would need to smoke more than 20,000 joints to reach a potentially lethal THC.
Did you know that in
toxicity
advance before you gave the answer?
Rich knows lots of things.
I don't know what's floating around in my brain or where it came from. All I do is take pieces of information and synthesize them, and I'm trying to build a worldview out of this, and the world is trying to kill me. So
there may have been an input along the way that you may have heard that number before.
I may well have heard it. God, yeah. I've been on hundreds of shows. Somebody may have said it to
me.
Right. You know, but, you know, I try to look up sources at the time so I remember the right numbers.
In either case, you did guess the number that at least this article uses. Still, there's no way to be sure how much THC was in the woman's system when she died, LaFole said. By the time an autopsy was done, the THC concentration, which falls quickly, had certainly gone down. Marijuana continues to have a Schedule I designation at the federal level, meaning it has no, quote, current accepted medical use, unquote, according to the federal government, even though numerous states have moved to legalize it for medicinal uses or for recreation. Louisiana has recently taken steps towards allowing marijuana for medicinal uses, starting after former Governor Bobby Jindal signed a bill in 2015 which created a framework for distribution of medical marijuana. So
in honesty, I think I need to correct that one thing, though. My first guess was 91, and that was wrong. But I remembered that from somewhere else. That was this dude I know who claimed to have smoked 91 joints, and he didn't die. And I couldn't attest that he'd smoked that many joints, but he did look pretty lively to me, so I'm certain he didn't die.
There you go. We're going to go to the phones where we've got Dave calling in from New York. Dave, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Dave,
hi,
this
Dave.
Is
What's
Hudson.
Dave's not here.
Hudson Valley guy, right?
Yeah.
All right. So what's up tonight?
I need help paying my rent.
Rich, Chris?
Here's a quarter. Call someone who cares.
There you go. That's your first answer. What else can we do for you?
I need help paying my rent because my rent went up an extra $6, and I really, you know, I've been trying to reach out to different people for help, like doctors, nurses, and other.
Well, here's what I suggest you do, bro. Have you ever read the Second Treatise on Government by by John Locke?
No, I haven't.
Well, go read chapter 5 of that. Could you? Chapter 5 of that.
Whatever.
And it talks about your right to homestead land, okay? And
you tell me to read.
Could you mute him?
Hold on.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead, Dave. So Rich offered you some advice by reading this book. You may find some ways that will help you with your rent. Are you still there?
I need someone to send me cash, either $6 a month or $42.
I don't care. Call someone who does.
Right. Dave, you're not going to get a handout here.
Let's drop this guy.
You might want to take a look at a homeless shelter if you can't afford your rent.
Why don't you get a job? Why don't you do something useful?
Yes, I don't think he's capable
you
of
have
holding
time
a job
to waste
down.
Calling
listen,
us.
Listen, listen,
this is
listen,
not the kind
listen,
of person
guys.
Who's capable of those things.
Hold on,
listen,
Dave,
listen,
are you
listen.
Working right now?
I have signs all over my car windows that says, unemployed, please hire me. I go out every day hoping somebody will take a look at my car and call me up and say, oh, hey,
where are
you? Be here at such a... What?
Where are you?
Upstate New York.
Upstate New York? Go someplace else.
You know, Dave, the first thing you probably want to do is remove the word unemployed because it doesn't have a good connotation. There's a reason you're unemployed.
Yeah. And putting signs on your car makes you look like the bum. There are ways to do these things. You know, what do the illegal aliens do?
Listen,
they go
listen,
hang
listen,
out at
listen,
the
listen,
Home
listen.
Depot and
yeah,
they,
Senator,
and they dress
listen,
for
listen,
work.
Listen, 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 listen.
Hey, you can't just talk.
How about you listen to me? You called into my show. My host doesn't know how to mute you, but that's okay.
Oh, he's muted.
I know how to mute you.
All right, Dave, you still there? We don't have any advice.
I'm
trying to
tell you guys, and you keep interrupting me.
We're not going to send you money. I mean, I support all sorts of causes.
Maybe somebody else will.
Tell me why you're of value to me, and I'll tell you how much I value you.
Hold on, let's do this. Let's give Dave 30 seconds to sell why random people should send Dave from Poughkeepsie. Is that correct?
Are you picking your toes in Poughkeepsie?
Okay, you got 30 seconds.
I have signs all over my car windows that says unemployed.
That's not how you do it.
This is not how the game's played.
That's not how you do it.
Dave.
Find out how you do it and do it that way.
Hold on. I had to mute him again. Dave, when you come back, I'm going to start the clock. You got 30 seconds to explain why anybody should send you anything. On your mark, get set, go.
You hung up.
Okay, well, some people don't want to work hard for a living.
Wow. If he'd told us a joke, I would have sent him a dollar and paid in Bitcoin.
I know.
Bitcoin
he would have
something.
Provided something.
Well, Bitcoin
value.
Cash. I can't afford Bitcoin. That would be extravagant for
you. Oh, my gosh. that guy has been calling in for years. Years and years and years.
Yeah,
and
he's been asking for money for years and years and years and talking about how he doesn't have any money and he can't afford his rent and all this other stuff. And yet.
I assume he's just a troll, but he is kind of funny.
One would hope, but
I hope he is. I'd like to think that he's just playing the socialist.
I'm a little skeptical.
855-450-FREE. Trump is such a fan of the Second Amendment and such a staunch defender. He wants to make another gun device illegal. We're going to talk about that. 855-450-FREE. Is
oral health important to you? If you don't like your own teeth, fresh breath, or kissing people, then by all means, stop listening. Several years ago, I met Jessica Armand, founder and CEO of My Magic Mud, and I became passionate about the product that she created and never want to live without it. It's clinically proven to whiten teeth, but I find it does much more. They want you to love My Magic Mud as much as I do, so they're giving you a money-back guarantee plus 20% off. Go to MyMagicMud.com and use coupon code FTL20 at checkout. MyMagicMud.com, FTL20.
This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. I want to tell you about Edge Wallet. Edge Wallet is a cryptocurrency wallet. It is made for iOS and a version for Android. You can buy, sell, and securely hold your cryptocurrencies. It's user-controlled, so you own and you control your money. There's support for Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum tokens, Monero, Ripple, Stellar, many, many more. This is a veteran team that's been building since 2014, and they want to help you secure your freedom. You can find out more at edge.app. That's edge.app. In studio, it's Chris and Rich, or Chris One and Nobody, as these guys are introducing themselves.
Or possibly Chris 98, Chris XP, and the artist formerly known as Rich Paul. Our names are Legion.
How about Chris 2.6 or 2.4 or something like that, or even earlier?
Oh, I'm like Rich Paul 5.0. I was like a nerd, and then I was a pot dealer, and then I was a recovering addict, and then I was there was some cocaine in between. You don't go straight from pot dealer to addict, but and a lot of alcohol also. I loved alcohol when I was a kid, and alcohol doesn't make me smarter. And kids, I make light of cocaine and alcohol use, but those two are dangerous drugs. And you know, I'm not gonna lie to you about weed, but I'm not gonna lie to you about cocaine or alcohol either. And those are bad drugs. That's why the producers don't want weed legal.
Yeah. You know what else is bad? When your president continues to violate the Constitution, it looks like he's going to do it yet again. But fortunately, this time we don't have Obama in office, so we don't have to worry about them coming after our guns or anything like that, right?
Well, except silencers are next, because one of those was used and the news highlighted it.
That's right. We did have a shooting that involved a silencer. Trump says he's seriously looking at banning gun silencers, this comes to us from Bloomberg. President Donald Trump says he's seriously going to take a look at banning gun silencers after last week's mass shooting in Virginia.
Aren't gun silencers, like, you can make gun silencers out of like your hand or something, like, right? Like,
you wouldn't want to use your hand. Can use a potato. You can use a 2-liter bottle.
Does that mean, like, you know, potatoes are illegal now? We're going to be illegal.
Probably,
and pretty much
only
anything that can go around the barrel.
Once it's affixed to the barrel, if previous gun law is going to apply. So you would have to do something to the potato to make it affixable to the barrel. So if you know, once you've stuck a potato on your gun, you have to discard that potato and select a new one. And if you're going to carry potatoes in your car with your gun, you might want to carry some olive oil and a camp stove. Okay, because then you have all the fixings to go out and shoot some pheasant and make yourself.
Okay, I'm going to throw off the whole thing you're painting here and saying you should also have condoms.
You should always have condoms, bro.
Right. But hear me out. When you are in danger of getting something in the barrel of the gun, a condom is a very easy thing to slip over the end of your rifle and protect it. So if you're out in the woods and it's raining, condom's a good thing to have. I know.
So if your rifle's into potato sex, please use a condom.
But yes, you could place a condom over your barrel and then slide it into a potato, and now you have a silencer. Another thing that they make.
You made that sound so sexy.
This is a real thing, and they've been trying to get these banned, but it's basically a coupling device that will screw onto the end of like an AR-15 standard thread in there, and then on the other end it has the standard threading of a oil filter, and this is a filter silencer. The idea that you could use a oil filter or a fuel filter, fill it up with a little bit of oil, and that will deaden the sound as it goes out.
And technological things like that can make a huge difference in quality of life, because I didn't walk around wearing hearing protection when I carried a 357, which I did for 12 years. And if I had had to shoot in self-defense, I might well have lost my hearing even worse than I have. One of the reasons I love being on radio is it's the only time I can hear you clearly.
Right.
And so I don't want that any, and partially that's from firing guns without hearing protection, shooting in the woods. So silencers might have saved a big hunk of my hearing.
And there have been bills before Congress to enact a safe, basically a law that would remove. So let's talk about the legality of silencers.
And silencers, there's no such thing as a silencer. Let's stop using this word. It's suppressor. A suppressor. It makes it less nerve-deadeningly loud.
Right.
What about an amplifier or something that modifies this noise but doesn't actually lower it?
Possible, but where we are today, you can legally own, you can buy and own a suppressor for, you know, a handgun, for a rifle, doesn't matter.
Depending on the state, right?
They can legally be made. These are covered under the National Firearms Act that was passed in 1933, 1934, back in the 30s, but they added this as a taxable item. So they couldn't just outlaw these
things.
And
by taxable item, you don't just mean they made it more expensive. You have to buy a tax stamp for $200, right?
That's exactly correct. So you can go and apply to purchase a suppressor.
The power to tax is the power to destroy.
Right. But they realized that was the only way they could get around the Second Amendment was to call this thing a tax. So if you pay the $200 tax and receive the stamp, then you can wait about 6 months until all the paperwork's done at BATFE, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives, and you will finally be able to go to the gun shop and pick up your suppressor.
Taxation is theft, and requiring a tax on guns is theft of your Second Amendment.
Does it actually say you have to get a tax stamp back, or does it just say you have to pay for the tax stamp?
No, you will receive a receipt.
You have to change your address with them. They have to track where it is all the time. It's treated like a machine gun.
It is a physical stamp, if that's your question. Yeah. It's a stamp.
And does anybody sell counterfeits?
That's a good question. I'm going to get into this story.
Oh, ain't nobody got time for that. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time.
Here's what Trump says, quote, "Well, I'd like to think about it," unquote, Trump said in an interview with Piers Morgan on ITV's Good Morning Britain. Quote, I'm going to seriously look at that, unquote. While Trump said he didn't, quote, love, unquote, the idea of a ban, he was also unhappy to see the frequency and severity of mass shootings in the U.S. So, quick, somebody name me another mass shooting that involved a suppressor on a rifle or a handgun.
Isn't this the first?
Anyone?
I have never heard of it before.
Yeah, I think for a mass shooting, this probably occurs as frequently as attacks with bump stocks.
Why would you need
Which happened exactly once.
Why would you need a suppressor on a mass shooting? You're shooting up presumably some sort of room full of people.
And your intent is to terrorize. Right. It's certainly not to save anybody's hearing.
Right.
So, yeah, there's a big question as to, I mean, except tinnitus is really painful when it happens.
Watch Archer,
you want to understand what happens when you shoot a gun in a closed room, and then consider that it's actually hurting you, which makes it a lot worse.
Right.
Was it actually used, or did they just have it, or what's the story behind it?
So I have not followed this story. I didn't look into it real closely when it occurred, but a guy went into a municipal office down in somewhere close to Virginia Beach, Virginia. Mm-hmm. He went in. He was an employee of the town or the city. He went in with a suppressed rifle or a suppressed handgun, and he began killing people. I guess maybe his thought was, I can go longer if nobody hears that I'm shooting and I'll be able to kill more people. I don't know.
Do you think the screams would have given it away?
Well, these things don't silence. They suppress. They're still loud.
Absolutely. 855-450-FREE. What do you think? Should Donald Trump just basically ban guns one part at a time till we get the whole thing done? I want to hear from you. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. 855-450-FREE. That's free as in freedom. That's our toll-free number, 855-450-3733. You can call in and join the fun. We've been talking about Trump, this staunch defender of your Second Amendment protected rights, is looking to ban gun silencers because, my God, one of those was used in a mass shooting. And the three of us have been...
You're fake news, Mr. Trump.
We're racking our brain trying to come up with another example of a silencer or suppressor. To be more accurate, suppressor has been used in any kind of mass shooting or even a murder.
They call things mass shootings that they wouldn't have called mass shootings 20 years ago. That's how they make it appear like there are more mass shootings than there used to be. It's down to like four people.
Yeah, they keep lowering the number. In this case, I think there's been 12 people that had died, and I'm going to go ahead and concede that I'm going to call that a mass shooting. Somebody walks into a workplace.
Oh, yeah, that was absolutely it.
And shoots 12 people dead.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, okay, you've met at least my threshold.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, and this is why I do believe that we should disarm the bureaucrats and disarm the police, because they are the most likely to wrongly kill somebody out there. There is no group out there more demographically likely to. Also, 40% spousal abuse rate. Can't point that out enough.
No, you can't. We're going to go to Vernon in New Orleans. Vernon, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
So I just wanted to point out what I heard, the reason he used a silencer. So he had worked there for many, many years, not sure how many, and he was intimately familiar with the workplace. And they said that he used the silencer so that he wouldn't tip off other people that the shooting was going on, and he was able to maximize the amount of kills he was able to have because he used the silencer, and that's why it went to up to three floors, I think. And so I think you all were asking in the last segment,
what happened, and
that's what I heard. So
you may be correct, and but what I don't understand how this happened in the first place, because I also read that this is a gun-free zone. Well, I mean, aren't guns automatically rendered
useless?
Let's put this in perspective.
Work in a gun-free zone, right?
Let's put this in perspective. The reason for the right to keep and bear arms is so we can resist the government if we have to. Now, if you look at Nazi Germany, they were a nation of 60 million people at the outset of World War II. Let's say they killed 12 million in the Holocaust, okay, and that's 20%. So we're a nation of 300 million people, and so 20% of that would be 150 million?
You know, I'm okay with them taking away my gun rights as long as they don't take away my tank rights.
And anti-aircraft guns. We need anti-aircraft guns because these mad idiots have planes.
Exactly.
So y'all, I know y'all are advocates of gun rights, but I'm still trying to wrap my head around this silencer. So let's just say that as human beings, what good is it to or not to have those silencers? The only two facts I think y'all have said tonight was that it's your right, it's your freedom, and it doesn't hurt your hearing.
Well,
I mean, are there any other reasons?
Those are really good reasons. The hearing thing is like one of the best reasons, is it not?
And that's the one that I'll step back to. The Boy Scouts have been trying for years to get this law passed for safe hearing because they want to put them on the little 22s that they go out and teach riflery. You know, they want these things. It's a good thing to protect your hearing.
But I mean, you're not going to open carry and have a silencer on the end of your gun, right?
Why not? It'll save everybody else's hearing too when they shoot it.
Well, I mean, I was thinking about that. I would love to have a gun with a built-in silencer.
Yeah, yeah, and they do. They do make such a thing.
You're under threat. You're not going to take the time if you're under threat to actually put a silencer on and then start defending yourself.
That's why I'd like to have a gun with a built-in silencer.
Right. So let me put it this way: what is it about a silencer that makes a gun more deadly? I'm asking you.
I guess going back to what happened with this mass shooting, nobody else could really hear it going on.
Okay.
Have you ever been in a room when a suppressed weapon was fired?
I have not.
Okay.
It shows. Go try it.
Yeah. What?
But can you hear it between floors? If I was on the third floor, would I hear it on the first floor?
No. Would you hear a knife?
They're much quieter.
No. Yeah, honestly.
Just a little
because,
gurgle.
Do they make because,
I think I have a... But I'm not advocating that it should or shouldn't be banned. I'm simply trying to understand your reasoning for not wanting it to be banned.
Okay, so this is it. And what it comes down to for me, it's not a gun issue because a silencer or a suppressor is not a gun. It is not a firearm. I'm not saying it shouldn't... that there shouldn't be some regulations about them as laid out in... I'm saying that 1934 was the mistake when they even included it. It's like saying that a hand grip, piece of plastic that you attach to a rifle, is a gun, and therefore the government must regulate it. I'm saying that there should be no regulation to it. So first of all, as somebody who has also lost a lot of my hearing, and that was from pulling triggers in the military, there is a good reason to suppress these things, and it makes it safer for hunters. It makes it safer for anybody, and it's simply one of those things. It's like saying Trump is going to outlaw vanilla ice cream. It makes as much sense to me as outlawing a suppressor for a weapon.
Well, thank you.
And this is why
that's
important.
Simply wanting to know as a tool how the silencer, you know, besides the freedom argument, besides the hearing, how the tool of the silencer helps, you know, with gun rights. I don't know and I don't care.
Yeah. What I do know is that laws of prohibition are designed to make more felons so they can strip us of our gun rights completely. They did it to me to a whole lot of hippies and
you're
to a whole lot of black
question.
Folks with the war on drugs.
My question,
that's
though.
Because I don't care about the answer to your question. So I'm telling you what
okay,
is important. And, you know, if you don't like my opinion, that's okay.
I'm not sure. I think what he was looking for is outside of your right to keep and bear arms and outside of keeping you from losing your hearing, what possible reason would a silencer make sense to own, a suppressor?
Well, other than that, how is the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
And that's
you know, sometimes what more do you need?
Yeah, I know. That's sort of the point. It's what more do you want? And you can't tell me that because one guy used one of these in a mass shooting, that there's some epidemic, that these things are a hazard. They're being used. Every mass killing in the last 18 years has been used by a suppressor. That's not true. It's the exact opposite.
Yeah.
It's like the bump stock ban. Bump stocks got used once because responsible gun owners saw for what it was, which was a novelty item.
I can only remember one case where a silencer of any sort was used. It was a 2-liter bottle. It was used by a nervous husband who wanted to kill his wife and her lover and thought that the suppressor would prevent her lover from awakening when he shot her. Well, of course this didn't work.
Right.
I mean, he got the guy anyway. He had the drop on him. You can't beat the element of surprise very often. But
the reality is most people's awareness of suppressors, and they think silencer. That's the word. Yeah. The press is using it. They get it from Hollywood.
How are they defining I don't know if they use the word silencer or silent suppressor or whatever, but what is that? How is that defined in the law? I mean, what is that? Because can you make a gun out of a material that does the same thing, but it's not, because it's not attached to it? It's not a silencer, or
right?
Yeah. Like, what if the design of your gun just saves people's hearing? Is
right.
that whole gun going to be illegal?
It's a good question. You have to go back to the National Firearms Act of 1933-34 and read it, because that's where it's codified. Now the problem is we have bureaucrats that are actually writing our laws for us.
Yeah.
So when somebody said, "Well, we need to address the question of suppressors because, you know, the law we wrote back in the 30s, that isn't really accurate," So come up with some guidelines, come up with some regulations that everybody now has to follow, even though they were written by people who were never elected, have no power to create a law, but in
effect...
Well,
they have the power, but not the true authority.
Authority, that's a good point. But that's how we end up with this stuff. And, you know, there were three or four times when bump stocks went before the ATF because the manufacturer of bump stocks was going, am I doing something illegal? And they kept coming back to him saying, nope. This is not a machine gun. This is just a thing. Yeah.
And every one of those laws give them the opportunity to make good people into felons and then persecute them for the rest of their life every time they pick up a tool.
So the 250,000 people or so that actually bought bump stocks on one day went from being law-abiding citizens to being potential felons. That's
welcome to the club, boys.
Exactly. 855-450 free.
And girls.
We are going to continue to get into Trump's latest craziness and his actions against the Second Amendment. And we want to hear from you and what's interesting to you. 855-450 free. This is Free Talk Live.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Warden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing too. Invest in Liberty and property. Mark Warden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.
Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live, entering hour number three. We do 3 hours of radio every night, taking your calls, bringing up some topics that we think are interesting. We hope you do too, and generating some phone calls. We've got a couple people on hold, but the we in studio tonight is myself, Chris.
Chris number one.
And the nobody formerly known as Rich Paul.
Yeah, it's just we have two Chrises in studio tonight. I always enjoy doing shows with you. You always bring an interesting perspective to whatever we're discussing. Rich, you and I are on a lot, and I enjoy doing shows with you. But when you have two people with the same first name, it does get a tad confusing. And
well,
Rich, I have a
spare one that either of you can use because I'm not using either of them and they're both first names.
Oh my God, we're going to really start to confuse people if I go by the name Rich.
Exactly.
And he goes by the name Paul.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, wow, that's definitely going to get confusing.
We are all Rich Paul.
We are all
nobody.
We have been talking about Donald Trump making noises again, saying that he is going to take a serious look at the issue of suppressors. Of course, he uses the word silencers, and these things do not silence anything. They make things less loud, not silent. There's a big difference there. And advocates that say these things should be more legal than they are now. Right now, you have to pay a special tax stamp, $200 tax to get one. You have to wait about 6 months at least for paperwork to go through before you can even think about receiving one. So it's not something one would use in a crime of passion. But right now, we're going to go to Elise in Maine. Elise, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, what's up?
What's going on? How are you tonight?
Good. How are you? I just wanted to call because I think the last caller before the break just wasn't on the right wavelength about suppressors, specifically owning them.
Okay.
I think, like, honestly, the most general point that I have is who cares what I want to spend my money on?
Yes.
Like, if I want to go spend my money on clothes or food or suppressors, it really doesn't matter. Just because one person does something with an object doesn't mean that I'm going to do the same thing.
Right. The masses shouldn't be suppressed just because of the whims of a minority, really.
Yeah, a minority of one in this case, yeah.
Food and clothing have both been used as murder devices.
Yeah, and that's a good point, too.
Well, maybe, but I think, yeah, it's just, and again, people are just brainwashed. They don't have the experience of even being around these objects, yet they want to formulate all these, you know, crazy opinions on, oh, we have to ban it. There, you guys were right earlier. It's just Hollywood that has, you know, promoted this silencer theory, it's completely not silent at all. I would say, from my own personal experience, it's taking something that unsuppressed will damage your hearing for sure.
Yes.
Mm. It's suppressing it to a level where it is still wicked loud.
Right.
But
right.
It might not damage your hearing.
It's
still just a super loud pop, almost like a crack kind of. You're taking this super loud bang that will damage your hearing to this kind of popping. Like
the prophet Robert Heinlein wrote that there's no such thing as a dangerous weapon. There are only dangerous men.
Yeah.
And as long as you stay a dangerous man, they can't disarm you completely.
Now, it's interesting you were talking about the crack of a gun, and that actually is what a suppressor does. It's a series of baffles inside of a tube. And
it's a series of tubes.
Well,
sorry, go ahead.
It's all right. But as the round passes through this, it catches that what we hear as the crack of a rifle is... It's literally a sonic boom, a very small sonic boom that occurs because the bullet is flying way faster than the speed of sound. And that's why another way you can cause something to be much more suppressed is to use, if you were using subsonic ammo with a suppressor, then you end up with something that gets really much, much more suppressed, if you will. Does that make sense? You eliminate the crack.
Does.
It's that crack that hurts.
Crack kills.
Yeah, there you go.
But still, I mean, even with subsonic ammo, you can still hear it.
You know,
it's still very apparent and very obvious what it is. But I wish that, you know, there's a larger point with this conversation, and I wish people would just identify it for what it is. These are the same people calling for bans on these kind of objects are the same people that want to tell you what to eat. They want to tell you what you can do or can't do. These are the same people that were pushing lobotomies way back in the day, saying, oh, they're completely safe, got to do it. This is the only option that you can ever imagine, you know, doing. And it's just, I really wish people would call it for what it is.
I really appreciate your call. Thanks. Thanks for calling in, Elise. You get that a lot. And I often hear people commenting on my Facebook page, and it's always the same cast of characters, but okay, come on, Chris. What about just some common sense gun laws? You know, just some common sense ideas. You know, do you really
you mean protecting
need,
gun rights then?
Do you really need 30 rounds in
like
an AR-15?
Like the constitutional right to carry?
Well,
or
what I'm going to say to him is,
that's common sense.
What about some common sense government control? Do you really need 78 alphabet agencies? Do you really need 40% of the national income? Do you really need to be able to pull innocent people over on the side of the road and shake them down for money? Because if not, what we need is some government control, because all of those things are going on every day. It's opened. It's public. Open your eyes and see it.
Absolutely. We're going to stay on the phones where we've
nobody got tells the truth.
They do. Rich Paul does. We're going to go to Samantha in New York. Samantha, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi. Rich Paul / nobody. Welcome back. I was so worried I wasn't going to be able to hear your views on things for a long time.
Nice. Well, thank you.
yeah. So I'm calling about marriage to kind of change things up a little bit. Because as far as guns go, like, I wish everybody had one, because then at least more good guys would have them than bad guys. And obviously keep the government out of it. But I'm calling about marriage because I have, like, a very different view on marriage. I get criticized for my view on it a lot. I don't think the government should be in it.
Welcome to the club.
Absolutely.
I get criticized on my position, too.
I don't want to marry the government.
Like, I'm engaged right now. And
congratulations.
My boyfriend and I are both. Thank you. My boyfriend and I are both, or fiance, whatever. We're both polyamorous. So we already have like a taboo form of relationship. And then everyone's like, well, if you're poly, why are you going to get married? Well, why can't I? It's just a symbol of how much I love a certain person. I can get married more than once, not legally.
Absolutely.
Which is stupid.
Well, the Church of the Invisible Hand is anxious to perform the first poly wedding in New Hampshire. So if you want to get married and you find a third like-minded person, bring them up. I will take care gratis. I will charge you nothing. We'll videotape the procession. We'll make it a big thing. I haven't even met you, and I just offered to marry you.
That's good.
I live in New York, so New Hampshire's like close, but not close enough.
Oh, we're close.
Okay.
We're
close. Well, look into ForkFest if you need to change your mind.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to move there eventually. It's taking some planning.
Yeah, it does.
But, you know, I get asked all the time, like, well, you know, if you're going to get married, then you're going to get legally married. And I'm like, no, I don't want to be legally married.
You don't have to.
Then why have a wedding? And I'm like, what?
Because you get to have a reception afterwards. That's half the fun. It's the party. It's a celebration. It's a celebration, two people in love. That's great.
And it's almost even more important for a poly couple to have a wedding. And the reason is we grow up steeped in the culture of monogamy, steeped in the idea that a committed relationship takes one form and one form only, and that's built into our culture. But it's not necessarily correct. That's something we inherited from the Christians. And the Christians are nuts on a lot of issues. So,
oh, absolutely.
But for a poly marriage, you have to define what that means. Does that include your sister? You know?
Right.
And the big thing is you have to act with love.
Sarah, thanks for the call. Or Samantha, thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. 855-450-FREE. How many people should be allowed to get married? That's a great question. And maybe
should there be a limit?
Why should there be a limit? This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live, 855-453. That's our toll-free number. You can call us and let us know what's on your mind. We've been talking about suppressors. My gosh. The Trumpster has got his eyes on another thing that previously had been protected by law, by the Second Amendment, but he wants to take a hard look at that. But before we get back into that, I do want to tell you about My Magic Mud. My Magic Mud is a black tooth powder. Yes, black. It's made from charcoalized coconut shells and bentonite clay. It is clinically proven to whiten teeth. All I'm going to say is if you follow the directions that are right on the side of the packaging, you will get amazing results. This is sold in most health food stores, including Sprouts, CVS, Natural Grocers, and you can even get it at Walmart in the natural beauty aisle. And if you use the code FTL20, you will get 20% off your online order at mymagicmud.com. That's mymagicmud.com. So is Trump correct in assessing these things as silent but deadly? Is that where we're at? Am I making playful fart jokes about him stealing more of my constitutionally protected rights?
You know, the details don't matter because all that they're talking about is what is the size and the scope and the magnitude and the nature of the abridgment of our rights. But the Second Amendment reads, a well-regulated militia being essential necessary to the maintenance of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Well, Rich,
and
you said
they are discussing the size and the shape of something that must not happen, regardless of its size or its shape.
Oh no, Rich, they're talking about militias. We don't even have those things anymore.
It's right there in the Militia Act. I believe it's called the Militia Act, which is a federal law that was passed in 1918. That the militia is constituted by the able-bodied men and I would argue women under the Constitution from the age of 17 to 70.
Right.
So that is what the militia is. The great object is that every man be armed. That's the militia. That's Tom Paine. That's common sense.
I agree. It is it's insanity. And if you dare bring up, and I bring up the militia thing tongue in cheek, because people assume that that means a bunch of guys who want to go play Army on the weekends and pretend like they're patriots and they're going to go, you know, and then they'll say this, well, you could never overthrow the U.S. government. I mean, look at all the weapons that they have. Look at all of the tanks and all of the aircraft, to which I usually reply with one question, and that is Afghanistan?
Yeah.
I mean, here you have basically tribesmen who have defeated not one, but two superpowers, have bogged them down. We have been in Afghanistan for 20 years.
And we have scientists.
20 years.
We have engineers. We have computer scientists. The hacker ethic is liberty. Right. Okay, the hacker ethic is information wants to be free. We are smarter than the government if we work together.
I will simply say that it, if it ever did come to a shooting war, and I don't want to see that happen.
I don't see any way to avoid it, but I hope there is one, and anybody who's trying to find a more peaceable solution, I wish you well.
I do too, but the idea that the government is going to ease up, they're going to start returning some of the rights that they have stolen from you. And I'm not talking about rights that are just written on a piece of paper. The Second Amendment doesn't grant you the right to self-defense. What the what the Second Amendment there is there for is to protect your natural right of self-defense. You have this. When you are born, when you came out of your mother, you had a right to self-defense. That wasn't granted to you by a Second Amendment. It wasn't granted to you by any government. It is part of the human condition. It is, or if you're a godly person, then it was granted to you by your creator.
See,
whatever your feeling is, it did not come from government.
Yeah. Now, a pro-lifer would say the right to keep and bear arms starts at conception, not at birth, although it's largely a moot point.
I'll go ahead with the right to
free speech.
Right. We're gonna go to the phones, where we've got Sarah calling in from New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
You like that, didn't you?
You got dirty stuff going through my head, Rich.
Hold on.
Why are people always saying that to me?
Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind tonight? Let me guess. Yeah, traffic?
I really feel that we would have less pedestrian fatalities if more of the drivers ate more meatless veggie patties.
You know what
Are
I
you serious?
Think?
Hold on.
You know what I
think? Is this Sarah?
Yes.
I think that the world would have fewer traffic fatalities if the U.S. government would stop dropping bombs on the Iraqis while they're driving.
That's a good point.
This is true, too.
So, Sarah, let me get this straight. If more people, because you really got to go out on a limb to kind of understand this one, if more people would stop eating meat and start eating meatless patties, then there would be fewer traffic fatalities.
What?
That's what you're saying.
I want to tie the two things together, the meatless patty that I've been advocating for and pedestrian fatalities, because, you know, the meat, it makes you grouchy.
Have you been reading The Onion?
Have you been writing The Onion?
I wonder. It is not.
But the thing is, she's repetitive. The Onion is always fresh. You need new material, sweetheart. You know what? Compared to the crimes of the U.S. government, traffic fatalities in toto are nothing. So tell us about something that's killing millions of people, like the war in Iraq, and you'll get our attention.
Absolutely. Sarah, thank you for your call. She is very concerned with traffic fatalities. This is a constant thing. I was kind of curious as to where she could possibly go with meatless patties. But I came to the same conclusion you did, which was absolutely nowhere, and nothing's going to make sense. Sometimes it's so ironic that Sarah becomes like the car accident that you can't help but watch.
It really is. She's hard to look away from.
I cannot comprehend where she gets her news from. Like, where, what? I mean, it literally, the stuff that comes out of her mouth is like stuff that comes out of The Onion.
Well, I think that long ago she learned that her rectum could be used as a self-sealing helmet, And the military guy understands.
And that's where it's been the whole time. Yeah, I don't know. She is very concerned about people being run over in New Mexico. The way she tells it, the streets are littered with the dead and dying. And we've never found anything that really backs that up statistically. But, you know, that's her point of view. And she will call in every single night to talk about it. We're not really that interested in talking about that, but we do want to continue on with Donald Trump and why he feels silencers are deadly. 855-450-FREE. Give me a call. This is Free Talk Live.
Bitcoin.com wants you to know about SaveItPurse.com. Since launching in 2014, over 200,000 users have saved an average of 15% for a combined $4 million using Bitcoin, or BTC. And now, you can use Bitcoin Cash, BCH, to fund your account. You can save between 5 to 33% on things you're going to buy anyway when you shop using SaveItPurse.com. Add items to your cart, fund your account, select your discount, and save. SaveItPurse.com. SaveATPurse.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Final segment coming up at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. I was thinking it was our final segment. We got two segments. So you can get in and get on the air and let us know what you think. We've been talking about Donald Trump, that stout defender of our First Amendment rights, trying to ban something that has nothing to do with guns. It is something that would actually make a gun a little safer to shoot, safer at least for your hearing. And because one wackadoodle decided he was going to go in and shoot up some people, and he happened to have a suppressor on his handgun, that's how I understand it, then by gosh, because one person did it in one single act and one single day, then that means every person in the United States of America who is otherwise allowed to legally purchase firearms, to legally purchase certain firearms accessories, and by the way, can legally purchase fully automatic machine guns. You have that right. The government says you have to pay an extra tax to do it, but you have that right. Because of that, your president, Donald Trump, and I want to talk to Republicans. Where are you guys on this? Is this just another bump stock to you?
Well,
it's not that big a deal, and it's a Republican taking away our guns, so we're okay with that.
As a registered Republican, which I am, kind of accidentally, but I have that stigma next to my name, so I'm going to get mileage out of it I can.
Right.
It's Ron Paul's fault, and I forgive him. But as a registered Republican, what I believe the position of anybody who is pro-gun rights, pro-Second Amendment should be, is that they should be working in their local state to organize a million-man armed march, open carry march against tinnitus. Okay? We want an end to tinnitus. And we want silencers, okay? We want the suppressors aren't good enough. We want silencers invented.
Right. And it's absurd. Somebody pointed out in Discord that, well, that's not all. I mean, you do have to get a background check and you do have to get this and that. If you want to acquire a suppressor, you do have to fill out a background check. You have to get a background check. You have to fill out all the forms. You'll have to submit a photo. You'll have to submit your fingerprints. I believe that's still a thing. You're going to have to get permission of the chief law enforcement officer in your area. In New Hampshire, that's usually the sheriff. The sheriff has to sign off and say, yep, no problem. I have no reason to deny this person the opportunity to acquire something under federal law that does not fire a bullet. That's the insanity. You can't. If you take a silencer by itself, a suppressor by itself, you can whack somebody over the head with it.
Well, you know.
Well, I mean, you can whack somebody over the head with your vibrator too.
What I think is messed up is you can carry. You don't need anybody's permission slip to go out and buy a gun and open carry it, right? So if you don't need a permission slip for that, why would you need a permission slip for a silencer?
If you do have to get a permission slip if you buy it from a FFL or, you know, a federal license, federally licensed gun dealer.
But you don't have
to
buy it that way, right?
But you don't have to buy it that. If you wanted to buy a gun from me and if you could offer me enough money to convince me to give up one of my firearms, I could sell you a gun. Person to person, that is right. Absolutely legal.
This doesn't apply to nobody because nobody is a felon.
Right. It would be illegal for you to possess that, and it would be illegal for me to knowingly sell it to you, knowing that I know you're a felon.
But the point is here. Okay, hold on.
But nobody should be debarred the use of arms when they're a peaceful person.
I agree.
Nobody is, even though it's illegal, nothing actually prevents him from going and buying a gun from another person.
But these are special items, and this is what the National Firearms Act of 1934 codified was saying that no.
The whole thing is futile.
It is futile. It's silly. It's insane. But this was in response. Keep in mind, 1934, this was after Prohibition. This is when the country did indeed face a wave of crime, you know, and it was due to people providing something that everybody wanted, i.e. hooch. And it was a black market created by the federal government with the 16th Amendment. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, it actually furthered it. It promoted it because when it's illegal, well,
more desirable.
It becomes more desirable, right?
Yep, it was a sad state of affairs. We're going to go to the phones where we've got David in New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Yeah, nobody likes ED. I keep hearing that on the radio.
See, you've got ads running already.
I do like ED because it cuts down the competition to me, and that doesn't even rhyme. I bet you didn't know it, but I'm a poet.
There you go. What you got, David?
All right. Well, first of all, they can't get past a constitutional amendment or a real repeal amendment with whatever that takes 70%. So their tactics are to do whatever. Throwing whatever sticks to the wall, and whether it's by passing lesser legislation in the form of statutes or by outlawing this, outlawing that, you know, everything but trying to change the amendment because they can't get the amendment changed.
Are you referring to the Second Amendment? Are you on the same page we are talking about guns or?
Yeah, well, okay. Everything. They're trying to completely alter the way that they don't like the Constitution, they don't like the rights that it gives you, and they can't get enough votes to pass a constitutional amendment to repeal an amendment or whatever, and so they do it all with all this other BS. And guns is one area, and you know my children were trafficked because of the same thing, because judges and that whole courthouse cottage industry gets away with whatever they throw and sticks to the wall. Whether it's by passing statute or just by doing what they damn well please, and then you got to appeal their decision.
Right. They can legislate from the bench. They can make their decisions have the effect and color of law, and it's bogus.
And they're doing this.
I'm sorry that happened to you, man.
Yeah.
Pardon?
I'm sorry that happened to your children, man. They killed my wife. That's how I ended up in the fight.
Got it. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. But they're doing it in literally every. If you look at any aspect of life, the government's got its fingers in it, and they're taking this control in literally every area of your life, not just guns and not just children and parental rights. They're doing it in every single area, and if you don't take if large numbers don't take a firm stand real soon, it's going to be all over. With the only possibility after that being an actual hot war. So
well, and we talked about this, you know, we were talking about silliness, and you know, and the Trump administration took great pride in announcing that they had done away with another ridiculous regulation that made it a felony to have a certain more than or fewer than a certain number of unblemished cherries in a frozen cherry pie.
How about we do what the legislature of Idaho, in its wisdom, I will call them the honorable. Please tell me I got the right state.
Yes,
I will call one of those guys honorable if he voted for this and I run into him. I will shake his hand and call him honorable, which I won't ordinarily do for him, but because they voted to drop the entire regulatory code. guess what? I've been in hippie camps a lot. There's no regular code, regulatory code. Nobody dies because we aren't stupid.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? On that subject, this has been on the list for a while. Actually, right here, I was given, let me back up, the Zapatistas in Mexico and Subcommandant Marcos. You know who I'm talking about?
No.
Marcos?
The Philippines?
Some rebel Indians in Mexico.
Okay.
Chiapas, Zapatistas, Subcommandant Marcos, all that. Anyway.
I don't know anything about that, so without fleshing it out, I don't know if we're going to get your meaning.
Well, I can make it so you get it. You can look it up later. But they have no government, and other than what the minimal thing they need. And here's what they do. This is just a number of thousands of people, and most of them are indigenous.
Brevity is the soul of wit, my brother.
Yeah, thanks for your call, David. 855-450-FREE. Our final segment coming up, and we want to hear from you. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. Hey, we're in our final segment, but there's still time. You give us a call, we will get you on the air. But first, I want to tell you about Liberty.menu. For years, libertarians of all stripes have wanted a directory of liberty-minded businesses, and we're helping build one, Liberty.menu. Liberty.menu is a tool for your community. At its core is a directory of events, businesses, digital content, and more. Listings can be rated and reviewed, and there's a bit of a social network aspect so you can connect and share with others. Use of Liberty.menu is exclusively for individuals who reject the initiation of force and for those who agree to abide by the ethics of the non-aggression principle. Put your voluntarious ideas into action at Liberty.menu and use code FTL to get a special badge. That's Liberty.menu. And while I'm in the spirit of promoting liberty, I want to thank a couple people. I want to thank Jared Porcupine, who is a platinum amplifier. What is an amplifier? I'm also going to thank Chris Hickman, who is also a gold amplifier. Amplifiers are people that have joined our advertise, market, and promote amp program on Free Talk Live. What they do is they have made a pledge basically to contribute a couple bucks a month and help us reach more people and spread the ideas of liberty by getting more radio stations to carry our message. And happily, we are over 200 stations now, which is a big deal. It's 200 affiliates coast to coast. And I think I'm safe in announcing this, but today or last night, this show has moved up in the rankings of Talkers Magazine. This is the trade journal for the talk radio industry. I think number one is probably Sean Hannity, and we out of and they list their heavy hundreds.
This is like being nominated for a CB.
Well, we already won it.
You get that if you watch Frasier.
There we go. we have steadily moved up in the ratings throughout our history, but Talkers Magazine now rates us as the 26th most important talk show in America, and that's a big deal. That's recognition from people in our industry, and I want to thank everybody involved.
Are we journalists?
Sure.
I mean, I certainly try to report the truth as I understand it.
Absolutely. And
they're really trying to silence a journalist with this whole weapons charge.
That's a good point. Jared Porcupine has pledged to give $25 a month, and that is very generous. Chris Hickman has pledged to give $10 a month. And again, you can find out more at Amplify or at amp.freetalklive.com on our AMP program. You do get some perks, and it's kind of a nice thing. It's nice for us to say thank you for the people that help us get on more stations. So, what do we think? Donald Trump, what a guy. He's going to protect the Second Amendment. And even, this is what frustrates me the most, even the hardcore gun rights, quote-unquote hardcore gun rights folks, they just turn a blind eye to his actions. Well, it's Trump, it's okay. We can take that. Nobody really uses bump stocks anyway. Nobody really buys suppressors.
It's okay when a bro does it, man. It's part of the bro code.
Exactly. That's how it's treated.
Yeah, and it's insane. And it illustrates to me that this is all being orchestrated by a single group of people.
Who's that? You're talking about an oligarchy.
George Carlin called it the club.
I don't buy it.
It's a big club and we're not part of it.
I'm not going to say that we don't have an oligarchy, and I'm not saying that, certain policies are put forth by certain people. What I am saying in this case, Donald Trump is a liar, and Donald Trump has again violated his campaign promises. You should not trust this man. Why do
my
you trust
point
this
is
guy?
They're all
well, give me
liars.
The idea that I trusted the guy ever.
My
I'm
point
looking at you, Chris. I can tell you were a Trump supporter.
My
no.
point
Said no
is
one
that
ever.
They're
no.
all liars and that the system is designed to filter out anybody who isn't a liar. The
there you go.
The system is designed to filter out anybody who isn't a crook. That's why the Libertarian Party's party has always done so badly. Well, let me tell you, in a system of unjust laws, nobody is a crook, okay? Because the laws are invalid. Nobody is a crook. What other politician is gonna buy that? Vote for nobody. 2020. Because I'll tell you the truth. Nobody tells you the truth.
And you are in the process of trying to get your name changed to nobody so you can go on the ballot and say, vote for nobody.
I intend to run in order for the mayor of the city of Keene, for the governor of the state of New Hampshire, for the vice president of the United States, and I'm going to be seeking the nomination of the Pirate Party, and I'm going to hope, and I hope to draft Vermin Supreme into doing this with me in the Pirate Party, and I am going to be running for Secretary of the General of the United Nations if I can figure out how. But I'm also starting a nobody campaign, okay? Not just me, because I'm nobody. This isn't about me. We're all nobodies in their system. So if you're, you know, mad as a hatter and you want to do something fun, I'm going to encourage you too to legally change your name to nobody and get yourself on the ballot. Any ballot.
And we thought this show was
legally
confusing.
Change your name and run for whatever. And I guarantee you right now that nobody right. will vote for nobody because I'm nobody.
So if we have
How
a writing
none of the above.
All right, if we have a writing campaign,
not none of the above. Nobody. It has to be synchronized with the name changes.
But Rich, what if you run as nobody, but you're faced with a challenge from somebody whose name is none of the above?
Well, am I above or below? What are our relative ballot positions? Because then it comes down to where are we on the ballot. If none of the above is above
really
nobody, then none of the above disqualifies himself, and therefore nobody should be elected. If, however, none of the above is below nobody, clearly the user intended to include nobody in the excluded set, and therefore he intends to vote for none of the above.
Okay, no, I'm just going to say, because somebody out there
this
is going...
This is what happens when you feed drugs to computer programmers.
That somebody out there is listening to Free Talk Live, probably for the first time, and they think, well, these guys are just... They're mocking our system of government. This is how...
Your system of government is a joke!
It's not my system of government. I didn't create it.
So, to the guy who says that, our system of government is not mine. Keep your pet off my lawn.
Exactly. And that's the idea. We will poke fun at your system. If you believe that it represents you, if you believe that it represents me, if you believe that it actually represents anyone, we're not only going to make fun of it, we're going to make fun of you. You need to wake up and look at this and go, did Donald Trump lie to you? Did Bill Clinton lie to you? Did Barack Obama lie to you? Have they lied to you your whole life? The answer is probably yes.
Bill Clinton was one of the, he was the only person I ever voted for who got elected. I voted for Dukakis. I voted for Clinton. Then I saw what Clinton did in office in his first term, and I voted for Clinton once. Once.
Right.
My next vote was for Harry Brown.
Can I just clarify that figuratively you saw what Clinton did in office?
I mean, I didn't see what he did with Monica. Yeah, I heard I way just, too much about it.
Clear.
And way too little about the fact that he probably did support in perjury, which is a serious charge.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, that got overlooked because of the risque factor instead of overanalyzed because of the risque factor. That was a really good turn of luck, quotated, for them in the media.
What I just wanted to say, Rich, is I do enjoy doing radio with you, and people that have come forward and said that I know this about the Clintons and I saw that, they have met untimely ends, and I didn't want you to be on some list.
Well, you know what the last thing Hammurabi said to that kid before he got shot? He told, you can see his lips, see her lips moving, or his lips, whoever, whatever it was, on the film, and it's saying, I know something about Hillary Clinton, and I'm going to hold a press conference. Read Hammurabi's lips.
Oh, my gosh. It is insane. To go back to where we started with this, the idea that Trump found another inanimate object that he wants to ban,
ban Trump?
I'd love to. I would love to.
But we got to ban Hillary, too. Let's ban all corrupt politicians.
That's easy enough. All in favor?
How many people die corrupt?
There we go. We have. I'm going to assume. Chris, do you want to weigh in? We're banning Trump and we're banning Hillary Clinton.
I support both.
Okay, great.
Aye.
It unanimously passes. That's all we have for you tonight here on Free Talk Live. Join
That's
us again
Pirates
tomorrow night where we will be having more fun and frivolity, taking your phone calls and sharing the news. This is Free Talk Live.
Would you like to hang out with Penn Jillette? He's keynoting Freedom Fest this year. I, for one, am thrilled. Freedom Fest is the largest liberty-oriented gathering in the world. They take a Big Ten approach with libertarians, conservatives, liberals, anarchists, capitalists, and just open-minded people mingling together to hear real debates, share real solutions, and converse freely. This year's theme is the Wild West, a time of liberty and opportunity, or a time of anarchy and violence. Maybe both. Go to freedomfest.com/FTL and get your tickets now. Freedomfest.com/FTL. Not convinced yet? Hey, I understand. It's a high-end event. Even with coupon code FTL50, sure, you're likely to receive investment advice that'll make that sum seem paltry. But I have something special for you. Go to freedomfest.com/FTL and you'll get the 5 best speeches from last year for free. Call it a test drive. Do yourself a favor and go to freedomfest.com/FTL. Freedomfest.com/FTL. Use coupon code FTL50 for a discount.